Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Sunday on Fox, Dak and Zeke lead the Cowboys in their home opener against Matt Ryan and the Falcons, or you may see Jimmy G and the 49ers as they take on the Jets. All of the NFL action kicks off at 1 Eastern. Check local listings for the game in your area, or watch it on the Fox Sports app. And make sure you get your Super 6 picks in before kickoff Sunday for your chance to win Terry Bradshaw's $100,000 and for top stories, scores, and more. Go to the Fox Sports app, call, and give us your winner and final score for Washington Cardinals.
Arizona 33, Washington 26. And I think both quarterbacks look good. So about a, so the line's 6.5. So I would take Washington, not with a ton of confidence. Raycon new wireless earbuds, E25s. Go to buyraycon.com/herd. Buyraycon.com/herd. Save 15%. He played in the NFL. He was a second-round draft pick. And he scouted in the NFL, helped build the Panthers and Seahawks defenses up. And he's our friend at the NFL Network, Fox Sports Analyst 2, Bucky Brooks. Haven't had him on for a while. He's joining us. Okay, so you're a scout. And I do believe a losing quarterback can be more impressive than a winning quarterback. And I look at asking a rookie with a bad O-line and no running game to throw 61 times trailing. And I'm way more impressed with that performance than I am Baker throwing with a great running game, a lead, and throwing 23. Am I nuts?
No, you're not nuts. Joe Burrow looked like he's expected to look as the number one overall pick. What you're doing early on in these assessments, you just want to see, do they flash the talent that led you to believe that he could be a top 10 pick, better yet, a number one overall pick. And he did that. I think the most impressive traits that Joe Burrow displays has little to do with his physical ability, his poise, his leadership, his maturity, his ability to continue to battle when his team was down. Those things are encouraging. And then at the end of the game, after the game, when he goes and talks to the reporters, he says all of the right things, the things that you expect to hear from a franchise quarterback. I think if you're the Cincinnati Bengals today, you feel really, really good about your young QB1.
If you're a Browns fan, and I like their game plan, do you have to say, listen, we're just better when Baker throws about 23 times and come to that realization? Because I thought Baker was about as good as Baker can be, and I think last night's kind of his ceiling. One big throw, ran pretty well, let him throw on play action. The more you ask a Baker, you ask Baker to throw 61 times, it's man overboard. I don't think he's Burrow. So if I'm Cleveland today, should I look at that and go, this is kind of what he is? Let's just own what Baker is.
Yeah, that's the blueprint. I think that's what we have to do, and that's what we have to get comfortable with. Regardless of where Baker Mayfield was taken, he was taken number one overall, and so normally we heap a ton of expectations on the quarterback taken that high, but that's not who he is. What Baker Mayfield is a high-end managerial-type quarterback, and there's nothing wrong with that. If anything, I think the Cleveland Browns can kind of take a page from the LA Rams playbook and treat Baker like the Rams treat Jared Goff. This is a team, the Cleveland Browns, loaded at running back, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. You have OBJ and Jarvis Landry on the outside. Austin Hooper can control the middle of the field, and the offensive line is playing well. The only thing you need Baker to do is buy into the game plan, understand exactly who you are, manage the game, let the playmakers do the work. You'll win a ton of games. And, oh, by the way, you may get paid like Kirk Cousins and Jimmy Garoppolo did, because they're quarterbacks that are very, very similar to the way Baker Mayfield is when it comes to his ceiling.
So it's very interesting. The hit rate on young quarterbacks, and we've talked about this, they got more snaps by 15 years old than the Drew Bledsoe, the Warren Moon era. These kids now have 10,000 snaps by 12. More of them make it, more of them are playing early, more of them are good early. There's fewer busts in the last 5 years, and I just said the joy. Dwayne Haskins' last three games, 111 passer rating, 65%, 5 TDs, no picks. A game that won't, you know, the country won't watch a ton of is Arizona, where I think we all admit Kyler Murray's a hit. if Dwayne Haskins plays another good game this weekend, is it too early for us to go, Ron Rivera doesn't need to draft a quarterback? Like, when will be the time that Bucky Brooks, a former scout, if you look at Dwayne Haskins this weekend, win or lose, I don't care. But if he comes out again and performs, do you feel like we got our guy? How many do you need to see?
Well, I mean, I think in general, the magic number is 2 years. So 32 games is normally when you make those assessments. But here's what I'll say about Dwayne Haskins and why I'm in on him. Having known Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray since they were in high school, is doing the Elite 11 thing, they both were very, very solid. The thing about Dwayne Haskins, and this comes from Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer said he was the best 7-on-7 quarterback that he's ever been around. When he stepped on campus at Ohio State, he was ready to go. Had to work through some maturity things, but from the talent standpoint, he has everything. I think this offseason was great for Dwayne Haskins. I think he stepped into the league and may have taken his standing for granted. He had to work. Ron Rivera made him work and earn the position. So now we see a slimmer Dwayne Haskins, a Dwayne Haskins that did more work in the offseason. Consequently, we're seeing a better Dwayne Haskins when he performs. And I think a lot of people didn't look at Dwayne Haskins at the end of the year last year. They got distracted by the fact that he got caught taking that selfie at the end of the Detroit Lions game, and they dismissed how he played. He played pretty good at the end of the year. This is just a continuation of what he started doing at the end of last season.
So you taught me this whole thing about the tractor-trailer thing, about some quarterbacks, very few, they can pull a team, but generally the team pulls them. And I was saying about Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson inherited Kareem as a rookie. That's not normal. You generally inherit a bad team. Michael Jordan had a bad team and the wrong coach. And they're both great players. But Dak wasn't living the real his first 2 years in the league. He had the best O-line. He had a former NFL quarterback head coach. He had Jason Witten. He had a great running back. And the division was kind of a mess. I look at Dak now with all the offensive line injuries, no tight end, now greater expectations, and I'm like, okay, this is what the NFL is like. This is what it looks like. You may have two undrafted tackles starting Sunday. Can Dak win with this reality?
Yeah, he can, because he's done it the last couple years. I think here's the thing. It's a myth and a narrative that's out there about the Cowboys' offensive line being a top five offensive line. A couple years ago, yes, that was the case. But they haven't been that version of the front line that we've seen in a while. And then when you go and you look at the weapons that he has around him, he has enough on the outside to be able to get it done. CeeDee Lamb helps give them another weapon to go with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. Ezekiel Elliott is still terrific, a top five running back. But, yeah, there's more pressure and more expectations on Dak, and he is going to have to work around a shaky offensive line. Part of the reason they struggled last week offensively, the offensive line got dominated by the Rams and Aaron Donald.
Yep.
He has to find a way to be able to work around that. Some of that will be him. Some of that really will fall to Kellen Moore. Can they put together a game plan to mask some of the deficiencies that they have up front? But, yeah, the expectations are ridiculous for what people want to see from Dak Prescott. I'm still buying him, and I'm still saying he's the best quarterback in the quarterback class that he came out, and that includes Carson Wentz and Jared Goff.
You know, it's interesting. You've never been as high on Garoppolo, I don't think, as I have. But what I can't deny is when I see a head coach who's supposed to be a brilliant offensive mind take the ball out of his hands, I can't. There's nothing I can do about that. So they got cluster injuries at wide receiver. They're a mess at wide receiver. Kittle's even banged up at tight end. Do you believe Kyle Shanahan this morning truly believes in Jimmy Garoppolo after week one?
I mean, I think it goes all the way back to the Super Bowl. I mean, you go and look at the two-minute drill. They had the ball, they had an opportunity to move the ball down the field, and they elected to run the ball before they put it in the hands of Jimmy Garoppolo. Here's the thing about Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan and that system. That system creates opportunities for Jimmy Garoppolo. The system is one of the best systems that I've ever seen in terms of the misdirection, running game, and the pass game, and how they blend everything together. The problem with Jimmy Garoppolo, when you watch the tape, every week he misses 2 to 3 big play opportunities that Kyle Shanahan has dialed up. For whatever reason, Jimmy Garoppolo can't see it, he can't anticipate it, and he won't let it go. And so as an offensive coordinator, it's frustrating because there are only a handful of opportunities that you get to dial it up to really create these scoring opportunities. And because Jimmy Garoppolo can't cash it in. It just makes it very, very hard to call a game around him. I believe this week, though, Kyle Shanahan will be at his best because he knows he has to call the perfect game for Jimmy Garoppolo to succeed without George Kittle. You'll see Jimmy Garoppolo play phenomenal because Kyle Shanahan will put the pressure on himself to create the opportunities for Jimmy Garoppolo to succeed.
All right. Is Brady going to win? Brady's going to win this week. Carolina's defense is not very good. Their secondary is bad.
Yeah, Brady's going to win this week, but I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers may have a little buyer's remorse. If you go back and look at the last 10 games that Tom Brady has played, Jameis Winston has been a better player, and I don't think Tom Brady can turn it around. Completion percentage, yards per attempt, passer rating are all in the bottom five of the league during that span. Look, I love Tom Brady for all the things that he's done, but I don't think he will ever return to being the player that we saw in New England.
Man, that was – you're worse than Bruce Arians. Guy just chewing him up and spitting him out there. Holy moly.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, loving eyes will never see there, Colin.
Bucky Brooks, it is good seeing you, my man. Catch Bucky Jonas Knox Saturdays, Fox Sports Radio, 4-hour show, 4 to 8. Good seeing you.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.
Boy, Bruce Arians and Bucky Brooks, they're just taking shots at my boy Tom. What is going on? I do not like it at all. When it comes to changing your health goals, Noom is the answer. Free trial. Get started today. Noom.com/herd. Change your mindset. Change your habits. 10 minutes a day. Free trial with Noom. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Western Conference Finals start tonight.
They do? Oh, yeah, that's right. LeBron.
LeBron, yeah.
Well,
LeBron.
Friday night's my non-sports night. I go out with my wife on Friday night, so now I have to.
So, do you ever do the move where you go out but you have the game on your phone?
Not with my wife, no. That doesn't work.
It's not available?
No, well, it's available, but there's other things that aren't available if I do that. Let's just say that. You don't do that.
That's
with my
move.
Wife.
Like if it's a have to go out night. Well, I mean, this is my job. So it's like anyone around me that doesn't understand. Like I'm gonna have to have my phone on and watch game one of the Western Conference Finals.
You went on a date with a very like you aspirational, very handsome guy. First date. Hold on.
I don't hold the phone in front of my face. I put the game on and put it here and watch it. Like it's a sports bar. It's just on the table.
You really do.
This is what I do for a living. I don't know. I wouldn't hang out with somebody that
you're
wouldn't
more committed
that.
Than I am on a Friday night.
It's Western Conference Finals. I'm not going to do for, you know, a random Tuesday night during the regular season. I can't even say that anymore because we didn't have game for 5 months. So I actually am going to watch a lot more.
You are but committed.
The Lakers are the favorites headed into the series. But after watching the Nuggets come back from 3-1 deficits twice, LeBron is taking his next opponent very seriously.
Very resilient, very confident. Very driven and a very well coached team. And it takes a lot of energy, effort, and a lot of desperation to be able to come back from a 3-1 deficit. And they did it twice. So the respect level is out of this world for what we have for this ball club.
The Lakers are -650 favorites to win the series and -7 in game one tonight.
Not just Jokic. Jamal Murray has been unbelievable. Because I always thought Jamal Murray, good player, inconsistent. He got rid of the inconsistent thing.
He has arrived.
He has arrived.
Yeah, I would take them very seriously if I was the Lakers. And the way that the bubble has gone, I expect the Lakers to win this series, but I am not going to put a number on how many games it goes.
How about this? Denver Nuggets, Miami Heat finals. Then we'll start looking at the bubble and going, oh, that was the crazy year.
Sure, but y'all got to play with the same circumstances at the end of the day.
It would feel bubblicious.
It would feel bubblicious. I would take it. But, yeah, they should take them seriously. This is not a team that is ever out of it.
Best passing big man in the history of the basketball.
He's unbelievable.
And I covered Arvydas Sabonis, and he was great, and Bill Walton was great. Arvydas Sabonis was the best passing big man I've ever seen. He's not this.
And what I love about the Nuggets is they are completely fearless.
Yeah, they're like kids. Kids don't even know better.
As they shouldn't. They just came back from 3-1 twice. What are you going to tell them right now? Nothing.
My son was like 4 years old. Just grab a snake. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's Florida. Yeah, that thing could have, like, eat you. They just when kids
well,
are like
I mean,
five.
Big
they
enough
just
to grab it. It's probably not going to eat him.
But like when you're five, little boy.
Are
boys,
you afraid of snakes?
I don't love them. I mean, I don't. I mean, I'm not going to walk up and grab a snake.
No, I'm not
going to
walk up and grab a snake. No, I don't know that much about snakes. No. So Bruce Arians did not hold back when criticizing Tom Brady's performance. Neither did Bucky Brooks just now. Against the Saints last Sunday, it's a different approach than one he's used to. Brady is after 20 years with Bill Belichick, but Brady isn't taking Arians' public comments personally.
You know, he's a coach, so, you know, I'm a player. Just trying to win a game.
Oh, boy, that's... Whoo.
You know what? I didn't originally put too much thought into what Arian said, other than the fact that he was like, he'll come back more determined. It's like, that's not the word I would use to describe Tom Brady. But it's like a couple days now.
Five.
Yeah. In our world, any story that lasts longer than 2 days has got some meat on the bone.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go crazy, freak out, but there's something there. And maybe it's just that Bruce Arians is now learning or now knows. You talk about Tom Brady, we're going to talk about it. You just are. Like, we're all watching what you guys do this year. This is a very big deal. And if you criticize the GOAT, people are going to pay attention to it.
Yeah, he's the GOAT.
Especially after one game. Now, if this was a pattern, like 5 or 6 games of this, okay. But after one game, I think I wasn't on your side to begin with. I'm like, it's not that big of a deal. Now I'm kind of like, I probably should have skipped those comments.
It's like when Michael Jordan laughs at you, like he laughed at Gary Payton. Literally, we talked about it for a month. If just a good player in the NFL laughed about Gary Payton, we would not even report it.
Right.
That laugh became like the most talked about.
No, it matters.
And they're still running it on the internet.
It matters where it comes from, yeah.
Yeah.
So, big congratulations.
I still cannot get over on a first date, you would bring your phone to watch the game tonight. That is an incredible commitment.
What's the other option? Like, if he's not comfortable with that, you're not for me. It's fine. Better I know that now. My time is very important.
Totally committed to this.
Yeah.
I punt sports on Friday. I'm going out with my wife. I punt sports. I'll watch it on YouTube. And I'll watch the highlights. I got a game 2 Sunday. I'll watch that one.
Well, I'm also going out with my friend tonight, and she also is in the sports business, so we're going to watch it together.
All right. Wow.
But if it was a first date, yes, I would.
I'm totally blown away by the commitment.
I mean, even if it wasn't my job,
maybe
I
shouldn't
watch
be talking about that. That's your personal life. I don't know. I'm just very committed.
I'm not bothered.
All right.
Don't take me out on the first date on game 1 of Western Conference Finals if you don't want me to watch it.
Apparently.
So, big congratulations to Fox's own Joe Buck.
Yes. Let's hear it for Joe Buck.
He has been named the 2020 Pete Rozelle Radio Television Award recipient and will be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Huge honor. He joins his father, Jack Buck, as the only father-son duo to receive this honor. He was surprised with the news during halftime last night of the Browns-Bengals game. And here he is with Troy Aikman after the announcement.
Congratulations, my man. We're going to get you a gold jacket. Congratulations.
Oh,
well
my
deserved.
God, I don't even know what to say. It's like, I feel like, what? That's unbelievable. And my God, thank you. This is not even work. I just cannot. Wow.
Yeah,
I'm
it's earned.
Stunned.
I don't get emotional like I did when Jimmy got announced. Oh. That's awesome.
Thanks, brother.
Well earned.
By the way, best guy I've ever best. He's the only sportscaster I was ever nervous meeting. He's the most talented person I've ever worked with in my business. He's a friend. He's incredibly supportive of me. I love him. I love his family, his wife. He is, to me, in my generation, he is the greatest sportscaster of my generation. And by the way, there's Bob Costas, Al Michaels, who I grew up as a kid. I didn't know who Joe Buck was in my 20s. And you know what's amazing about he and his dad, what's really amazing, is that they don't necessarily sound alike, but they have the same, the one thing they're both great at. They're both great in the big moment. And that's hard. Like a lot of people, and most of the guys at the network who are really great are. But Jack Buck was great in the big moment, and Joe is unbelievable in the big moment. He's going to get into, I just thought of this, he's going to get into the baseball Hall of Fame probably in about an hour and a half. So it's you start adding multiple Hall of Fame. I mean, Troy Aikman's not getting into the Volleyball Hall of Fame. It's like Buck's going to get into 2 Hall of Fames.
It's remarkable and well-deserved.
What a
dude. It is. He's remarkable.
Good stuff. And he, Buck, like Troy, or like Joy, will watch a game while on a date with his wife.
We watch sports.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So happy for him. Not just happy.
It was a great moment, yes.
Great moment. Jimmy Johnson, who's taught me more football than anybody I've ever met, and Joe Buck.
I cried watching Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, Jason McIntyre, who makes the strangest, weirdest predictions, and they're almost always right, and we laugh at him, and now this guy gambles, and he gets it right a lot. So he's joining us next. Tomorrow's headlines today.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. Not even rhymes and stuff. That's on the iHeart. He does a daily podcast. He gives you a bet every day. He loves betting. And he is joining us. Best for last. We call it tomorrow's headlines today. All right. So last week I was 2-3. Carolina, Matt Rhule, stupid fullback dive. How'd you do last week?
Well, I entered that $1.4 million contest. I went 3-1-1. So not a bad start. Bengals pushed. They should have won. And I hit Washington. Thanks for the shout out on social media. Joy Taylor. I got my follower count went up. Okay. When Joy gave me a shout out.
People pay attention to that follower count stuff?
Yeah. I mean, well, you can see the timeline just brrr, all these people are like, oh, Joy Taylor likes this person. He must be a good human being.
You were right.
All right, here we go. Tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline for Panthers and Brady and the Bucks?
Yeah, so Tom Brady was awful last week, said everybody on the internet, said his coach. However, the headline will be Bucks avoid mutiny. Colin, I love this game. I know it's a big number, Tampa by 8.5, but I'm all over the Bucks in this spot. Look at Carolina last week, okay? They're secondary. They started a fourth-round cornerback, and he got lit up by Derek Carr. When you look at Tom Brady, he wasn't bad last week.
I know
there were two interceptions. There was a pick six, and the other one might have been on Mike Evans. But Brady wasn't bad, and he heard all week how he's washed. Rob Parker and everybody at FS1 crushing Brady. He's going to come back with a monster performance. And I had Bucky Brooks on my podcast, and he made a great note. He said, Jason, Christian McCaffrey in two games last year against Tampa rushed for 68 combined yards. Yeah. He can't get on track. Todd Bowles, a great defensive schemer, former Jets head coach. And I just like Tampa to shut down Carolina and dominate offensively.
Yep, you and I agree. By the way, I don't think Tampa's going to have a pick six because Carolina's defense, the corners are bad. All right, tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline for Rams at the Philadelphia Eagles?
So we nailed this game last week. Of course, Eagles, we were all over that. They were in trouble. However, headline will be Once Upon a Time versus Hollywood. Bless you, Colin, and bless Carson Wentz and the Eagles. This is my favorite pick of the weekend, Colin. It's the bounce back, right? They didn't have the offensive lineman last week. They didn't approach the stadium in a team bus. They came in on a gurney, okay? They had two offensive linemen who had never started a game or out there. It was almost embarrassing for the Eagles. Wentz sacked 8 times. However, Lane Johnson is back. Their running back, Miles Sanders, is back. And just a fun note here. Pro Football Focus last week said the Eagles had the number one graded defense. And then you look closely, Washington's 3 touchdown drives, all less than 50 yards. So the Eagles didn't play poorly, but everybody saw the Rams on Sunday Night Football beat the Cowboys. Oh, got to take the Rams. Got to take the Rams. I don't know. Peterson, by the way, 2-0 against the spread against McVay. Small sample size, but he has beaten them twice pretty soundly. I like the Eagles a lot here.
Tomorrow's headlines today. Headline for the 49ers at the woeful Jets.
Yes, every week, Colin, there's a major upset. Last week it was the Jaguars beating the Colts. This week, the headline will be Jets beat 49ers, not a typo. I really think the 49ers are in some trouble here, Colin. They have cluster injuries in the secondary. Richard Sherman is out on the IR. And at wide receiver, I mean, yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo completed 4 passes to receivers last week. That's it. All they can do is really run the football. Jets, top 5 run defense last year. And keep an eye on George Kittle, right? He's on my fantasy team. Hurt his ankle last week. 0 catches in the second half. They were 2-for-11 on 3rd down against Arizona. Colin, something's up with the 49ers. And I know the Jets stink. And Le'Veon Bell's out. And Crowder's out. And I got your producer, Chris Healy, telling me Sam Darnold's done. Let's bring in Trevor Lawrence. I think the Jets show up here. Reminder, Dallas went into New York last year as a 7-point favorite. Jets beat them outright. Give me the Jets shocking the 49ers.
Tomorrow's headlines today. Headline for the Falcons at the Cowboys. I love Dallas in this one.
Yeah, I'm on the other side with you here. Headline will be Dirty Birds dominate Dak.
Ooh.
Colin, Dak Prescott, I'm just going to point this out. 6 drives in the second half last week against the Rams. 1 field goal. That's it. With this high-powered offense, Ezekiel Elliott, I don't understand how they can be that bad. We can't blame it all on McCarthy. Now, we know the Falcons' defense wasn't great last week, got shredded, but they had 3 receivers go over 100 yards. They'll be able to keep up. And I think it's whoever makes the last mistake, obviously, will lose this. Cowboys linebackers, Colin, Sean Lee out 8 weeks, Leighton Vander Esch out 6 weeks. I think they're in some trouble here. Todd Gurley could have a big day. I like the Falcons in an upset. You don't need to change it.
Oh, it's interesting. It's my favorite bet of the week, Dallas. All right, tomorrow's headlines today. I'm taking the Patriots at Seattle. I like the points. That defense for Seattle, we'll see.
Very
now.
Leaky.
Well, it's certainly leaky. You can throw the ball because they had a lead, so it makes me wonder, was it Seattle's defense with a lead, prevent? Those are prevent yards for Atlanta. But what's the headline going to be for the Patriots at Seattle?
The headline will be, where there's a Wilson, there's a way. I'm sorry, I'm taking the better quarterback here, Russell Wilson over Cam. Colin, this is a great matchup, right? You've got your old liberal head coach, Pete Carroll, and your old conservative head coach in Bill Belichick. It's like the presidential election Sunday night. It's going to be great. And I just look at this. I don't think the Patriots can come from behind to win a game the way they're running the football. Cam Newton, 1 pass over 20 yards last week to a tight end I'd never heard of. Okay, it's just 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And if Russell Wilson could get them the lead, I don't know how the Patriots can come back. Tell me, like, all the Seahawks have to do is run the ball, set it up with the deep passes. I think Seattle's a side here, but I understand how you like the Patriots. I do.
Well, I think this is going to be the shortest game of the year. I think New England knows they have to run it. I think Pete Carroll looks at that very good Patriots secondary and says, I'm going to run it. That's his DNA. And I think it's one of those 3-hour, 12-minute games. It's over before we know it. It's ugly. I just think it's going to be an ugly, low-scoring bet-the-under game. That's my gut feeling.
What happens if Cam Newton comes to the line and sees Jamal Adams, your guy, in the box? I don't think it's that easy to run on this team. This ain't the Miami Dolphins, Colin. Miami Dolphins are terrible defensively.
All right. I don't feel great about my picks anymore. I really like them.
Hey, you got
them.
A pick tonight on Lakers Nuggets at all or no?
Lakers had 6 days rest. I'll take the Lakers. What do you think?
Yeah. I got Lakers in a sweep, +280 to broom the Nuggets. Yeah. Bad matchup for Denver, Colin. Jokic, look at his numbers against Anthony Davis this year. He just got destroyed. Averaged 5 rebounds a game against Anthony Davis in 4 meetings. It's just terrible for Denver. Lakers big, big.
All right, Jason.
Hey, thanks for the kind words earlier, by the way, man.
Did I give them to you? What did I say?
Very nice of you to say.
What did I say?
You said a lot of great things. You and Joy were like gassing me up as this gambler.
You know, you're a good gambler. You really are. You're one. You're a, you know, a little
you
bit
put
of
in
a,
the work, man.
A little bit of a degenerate, but nonetheless, I think you're a very good gambler.
My parents will love to hear that.
You're raising a great family. They should love you. All right, buddy.
All right, buddy.
We're done. Look at this. All right. I'm very excited. I love America right now. I can bet football and watch football, the NBA tonight.
We do have sports back.
For joining us, Goulet. See you Monday, The Herd.